Good evening.
Good evening.
Before I get started, I would like to just mention everybody who I need to thank. Well, I'm just going to say thank you to everybody. Because I forget people. I know that a lot of people sent cards. Those were really appreciated. Let me know that you have been praying and have been praying for this revival and praying for me in preparation. Thank you for that. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the hotel. Thank you for those who have made sure that I have eaten way too much this week. And I do appreciate that. Thank you for that. It's been a phenomenal week for me. I pray that God has blessed you as well, and that he will continue as was prayed tonight. Even though this is the last service of the revival, that revival will continue on. And I will continue to pray for that. So I want to thank you for allowing me the blessing and the privilege of being here. It has been and continues to be a joy. So let me ask a few questions. Maybe I'll just ask one. You don't have to answer. I will fill in the blanks in a moment. What kind of images pop into your mind when I say the word Revelation? Then, like most people, and I assume you are like most people because you are most people, when you hear the name Revelation mentioned, your thoughts turn to violence, apocalyptic images. Maybe you think of the Great War and the Battle of Armageddon. Maybe look at beasts that would be loosed. The mark of the beast. Maybe that 666. You might think of the seven bowls or the seven seals. You might think about the four living creatures, or maybe those catastrophes that are so vividly described. You might think about the seven churches there in chapters 2 and 3. You may conjure up images of the four horsemen of Revelation, four horsemen of the apocalypse. And those are all images that you'll find in the book of Revelation. We're not going to get into those now. I just set it up there, and now we're going in a different direction. But you might also be surprised, you may be surprised, to find that there are some beautiful scenes of praise also found within this book. Wonderful songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving. Very much like what we sang tonight. So thank you. Whoever put this all in service together. Well done. You had no idea what I was preaching. And you hit it. You nailed it. That was fantastic. That was right where we need to be, right for the right frame of mind. I hope. And again, let's just give the Holy Spirit credit for that. Because I didn't tell anybody, and they didn't tell me. So let's give the Holy Spirit some credit for that. So, and as we're going to see this evening, in the book of Revelation, there are some scenes in which we get a beautiful glimpse into heaven. It's my hope, my prayer that as we look into this beautiful book, and it is a beautiful book, we might come to understand that the Holy Spirit inspired this book for our benefit. Not so that we would be confused, not so that we would not be able to understand it, but for our benefit. Not to be feared, not to be shied away from. It is a part of Scripture that is useful to us. And the book of Revelation is just that. A revelation that the Lord has given to us through John. While he was living in exile, John was given the opportunity through the Holy Spirit to look into the amazing glory of the spiritual realm. The way he saw is important for us in the face of this book. And as we begin chapter 5, if we're going to be, I said here, get your Bible with you. Revelation chapter 5. John is looking into heaven and he sees God in all his glory seated on his throne. We're going to read Revelation chapter 5, just the first 5 verses for now. We'll read a little bit more later. Before we do that, let's pray, if you would. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to gather here tonight, to gather in the name of Jesus, to gather as his people, those who are longing to be in a relationship with him, those who are longing to be in a deeper relationship with him. Thank you for this congregation. I pray your continued blessings on her leadership, that you would continue to give them strength and wisdom to lead in the way that you would have them to go in this congregation. To go as we each strive to please you. I pray your blessings on the message tonight, that from this we might be encourage, and Father, that you might be pleased with how your message is presented tonight. Thank you so much for the opportunity you have given me to be here. And I pray, Father, that tonight we might all lift up our hearts and our minds and our voices to the one who is worthy, that our lives might be a song to you. Lift up the name of Jesus to all those around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who are, who like that note, the title of this sermon is A Song of Redemption. And that's exactly what it is. It is a song. And as we go through this message, and I heard it several times when there is singing around the throne. And I hope, I pray that our lives would also be a song of redemption. Bring glory to Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5, let's read the first 5 verses. John is writing, I saw at the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book, written inside and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. One of the elders, I skipped verse 4, I'm sorry. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that stole the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and 7 seals. So John reports for us in these verses that there is only one who is worthy. The chapter begins by presenting a dilemma, however. As John gazes into the scene in heaven, he sees the heavenly Father sitting on his throne and holding a scroll or a book in his right hand. The book has been sealed with 7 seals. Into the picture comes this strong angel, and he asks, who's worthy to open the book? Who's worthy to break its seals? No one in heaven, or on earth, or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. No one in all of history, in heaven or earth, was found was able to open this book. This book, as we were going to find out later, is a picture of the church, picture of the world. It contains a panoramic view of what was and what will be. Though no one worthy to break the seals and open the book, we might never know how the story of the Lord's church ever ends. Remind me, I'll tell you later how. I'll tell you right now, we win. That's how it ends, we win. All right, now we're going to have an invitation. So John tells us in verse 4 that he begins to weep, and he begins to weep bitterly. Because he understands how important it is that this scroll be opened. John wants to know what the future holds. He's exiled on Patmos, he's separated from the church, he's facing bitter persecution, and he longs to understand what is coming. But no one was found worthy to open the book. Now we get to verse 5. And one of the elders says to the distraught apostle, stop weeping, behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its 7 seals. So from the bosom of one of the elders gathered around the throne of God, John hears the basic truth that there is one who has been found worthy. Only one has been found worthy. And the one who is worthy, he describes this way. Genesis chapter 39, the lion from the tribe of Judah. From Isaiah 11, the one who is worthy is the root of David. From John chapter 16, the one who is worthy is he who has overcome. Each of these, and all of these, are of course references to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the entirety of the history of mankind, there is only one who is worthy to open the book and to look into it. He is worthy because he alone is the King of kings. He is worthy because he alone is the Lord of Lords. He is worthy because he alone has overcome sin and death and the grave. So as God gazes into the scene in heaven, he comes to understand that Jesus alone is worthy to open the book that is in God's right hand. He alone is worthy to look into the book and reveal what the future holds. And then as the chapter continues, God reveals for us the Lamb of God that was slain. Let's read verses 6 through 10 as we continue on. John continues, now that we know who is willing, who is worthy to open the book, and I saw between the throne, with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. We'll stop right there. I'm going to throw in the prayer and thank you. Because I don't know what I am. Maybe a little spiteful. Maybe that's why I'm going to say this. You're one of those people that says, I don't like to sing that new stuff. You've got time yet to change your mind. Because we're going to sing a new song. Okay. And they sang a new song. Say, worthy are you to take the book and break the seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. In the midst of this glorious vision that John sees, he sees a lamb. In the midst of the throne room of God, first of all, what a glorious vision that is. To see into the throne room of God. They took me down to Fort Wayne today, and we got to go on a tour, thank you, Josh, of Sweetwater. Man, that place is pretty impressive. We had lunch there, and that was very good. And then we went to this magnificent castle-looking place that said, The Brain. And I thought, that's pretty cool. Who would have thought that it was even better? John got to see into the throne room of God. Oh my. And in the midst of the throne room of God, in the midst of the four living creatures, in the midst of the 24 elders, he sees a lamb. His lamb is as if it had been slain. And the lamb has been slain. And the lamb was slain. John the Baptist foretold that when he was baptizing in the Jordan River. Then he was talking to the religious leaders of the day. And Jesus came to be baptized. And John said of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then 3 years later, Jesus was crucified. He was slain for us. The Lamb appears to John to have seven eyes and seven horns. In the passage, seven represents perfection, completeness. So likely with seven eyes, again, likely, but I can't say this automatically. Likely seven eyes represent the perfection of Jesus' understanding, his omniscience, the fact that he sees everything. It's also possible the seven horns represent Jesus' power, perfect power. The fact that he is all powerful. As God, he is omnipotent. But regardless of the imagery of the seven eyes and the seven horns, John recognizes the Lamb as the one who is worthy to open the book. He recognizes him as Jesus. The Lamb then approaches the throne of God and takes the book. And when the Lamb holds the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before Jesus. Mind you, these are the elders and the four living creatures that have been surrounding the throne of God, praising him. And now they fall down before Jesus in worship and in praise. The residents of heaven recognize Jesus as the only one in the earth. The residents of heaven recognize Jesus is the only one worthy to open the scroll. Listen to the words of the psalm that said, again, to Jesus, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them, Jesus, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. The theme of this song of praise to the Lamb is that he was slain. And being slain, he redeemed people from around the globe, across the timeline. But it was his death that made our redemption possible. It was his death that made redemption possible. Yes, God is a God of mercy and grace and love, but he is also a God of justice. He is a God who is holy. His justice bears a penalty for the sins of mankind. And Jesus, through his own blood, paid the penalty. He paid the price for our sins. So because of his selfless sacrifice, all of heaven sings the song of praise to the Lamb that was slain, the one who alone is worthy. But John's mission isn't yet complete. In verses 11 through 14, we see more of this glorious celebration in heaven. We see that all creation sings the song of praise to the Lamb. Read with me as we conclude this chapter, beginning verse 11. John continues, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the believers and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven, and on the earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all things in them, I have heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worship. And this is a glorious scene of worship and praise to the Lamb that was slain. When Jesus first came, as the one who was worthy to open the scroll, John saw the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fall down before him in worship as they sang their song of praise. But now, as the scene expands, John sees many angels around the throne, myriads and myriads. The number of angels was too great to count. Now, along with the angels, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders, sing to the Lamb about how he alone is worthy. And he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. The great throng of heaven sings their praise to the Lamb. And then when John takes in the full scene, it starts with the elders and the four living creatures, and then it starts with God, and he sees the four living creatures, and he sees the elders around the throne, and he sees the Lamb, and then he sees these myriads and myriads of angels, and then John sees all creation. He recognizes that the celebration, church, we need to recognize this, that the celebration, this song of redemption, is not reserved for heaven alone. He shares with us that every living creature, which is in heaven, that's where we started, and on the earth, that's us, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all things in them, lift up their voices and praise to the Lamb who has been slain. Remember when Jesus came in from his triumphal entry, and the religious leaders were telling Jesus, now you tell the crowds to hush. Tell those crowds to quit praising you as though you were the Son of David, as though you were a Hosanna, a Hosanna, and I. You tell them to hush. Remember what Jesus said? If they hush, the rocks themselves will cry out. You know what that tells me? Jesus is going to be praised. Jesus is going to be worshipped. Because he alone is worthy. They sing to God the Father and to God the Son, the great and glorious song of worship, as John gives his revelation. Everything which is in heaven joined in the celebration, everything in the spiritual realm, worship. Everything. He said it again. Every thing in the spiritual realm. So if I were to ask, what are some things in the spiritual realm? You might say something like God. That's right. You might say Jesus. That's also right. Then you go through this list of things we just talked about here, right?
He's the 24 elders. Yeah, that's right. They're in the spiritual realm. Right now, they're in the spiritual realm.
And the 400 creatures? Yeah, they're in the spiritual realm. And the very various angels?
They're in the spiritual realm.
Who else is in the spiritual realm? Come on, you know this. Sometimes the picture wearing red has got horns and a pierced pitchfork. That's not true. You know the answer? Come on.
Get closer.
All that. Who? The devil! That's right! What's his name? Every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, all things in them.
All, everything!
Everything! Worship the one who is slain. Yeah, that's right. Everything that was created. Everything that's on earth joined in celebration. Every person, every animal, everything that has been, that has breath in it, rejoiced in the land. Everything that's out of here.
So all those who have gone on before, they all joined in the chorus.
All those who are on the sea,
people on the sea, on islands and boats,
they celebrated. All the things in them, all things in the sea,
not just the people in the animals, but all creation,
joined in the song of praise for the redemption the Lamb has provided. Everyone and everything that has ever been, everyone and everything that has ever been, joined in the worship and praise of the Lamb that had been slain, the one who is worthy. That's a fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in what Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is not an amen in church, is it? Because I'm telling you what, if I was sitting, I'm getting fired up here. Think about this scene. Think about every single person who has ever been, whoever will be. Every single animal that has ever been.
Right? Every animal.
Every animal. Dinosaurs, yeah.
Right? We sing a song of praise to Jesus.
Man, what a glorious night. I like the song. I like the song service tonight. I did. I enjoyed the music. You guys enjoyed the music this week? It's been fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for all those who have taken part in that. And for those up there, you never get any credit unless something goes wrong. Good job. But it's all just gone. It's been beautiful. But it's been nothing. It's not like what it's going to be for us. It's not like what it's going to be. Here in this heavenly scene, John witnesses every knee bowing before Jesus, every tongue confessing him. All Christians, without exception, sings a song of praise for the redemption that Jesus has provided. And this chapter, I believe, is one of the most glorious passages in all of Scripture. All heaven and earth,
the living and the dead, everything that has been created by the will of God,
everything is singing their praise to the one who is worthy. Everything is singing their praise. I don't know about you, but I'm going to guess. In the group this size, there are probably some people who cannot sing well. I don't know that. I've not heard anybody singing very poorly. But we have a guy, one of our elders, I'm going to share this, he knows that I would say if you were here. One of our elders who sings probably as loudly as anybody I've ever heard in the Lord's church. And he sings probably as badly as anybody I've ever heard sing in the Lord's church or anywhere else. He really cannot hear anything in the Bible. It's bad. It's bad. It's so bad that he and I went down to the prayer clinic. This is several years ago, kind of the National Prayer Clinic down in Grundy. And we sat beside each other and we stood beside each other singing. And he's singing so badly that I got messed up. He's going to be singing praise. If you're here tonight and you think I can't sing, that doesn't matter. You're going to be singing praise to the one who was worthy. You're going to be singing a song of redemption. Because at that point, your redemption will have been made complete. You will have to realize your redemption. All creation worships the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. What a glorious picture God makes for all of us. But that brings us to what I believe is a very personal question, a very personal time of application. If Jesus is the only one worthy,
and he is,
isn't he the only one worthy to be Lord of our life? And if Jesus is worthy to have all creation sing praise to him in heaven, isn't he worthy for us to sing praise to him here and now? If Jesus has been slain for our sins, and he has, isn't he worthy to be the Savior of our life? If Jesus is worshipped by all creation, and he will be, isn't he worthy now to be praised by us? Isn't he worthy to have us in our lives, those of us who are in Christ? Isn't Jesus worthy for us in our life to be a song of praise to him? Not just with our mouth, with our mouth, but with our actions. Our life is to be a song of praise to Jesus Christ for all that he has done. Not just when we gather together in church, not just when the hands up here lead us, but all the time, every moment of our life, a song of praise. Because he alone is worthy. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is Lord. Some of you probably remember those bumper stickers that used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Anybody remember those? Remember my favorite Hebrew word? Hooey. That's hooey. Let me tell you why that's hooey. Because it doesn't matter if you believe or not. God said it, that settles it. Jesus is Lord. Whether you believe that or not, Jesus is Lord. If you do believe that, your life ought to be a song of praise to him. Yeah. Does that mean everything's going to go well in your life? No. Does that mean that there will be times when you would? Does that mean there won't be times when you're going to be down? No. But our life ought to be a song of praise. Peter wrote about when others come to us, they see the hope within us and then they ask for an account of why we have that hope. There's an implication in that, isn't there? That people are going to look at us, they're going to watch us, they're going to see the way we talk, hear the way we talk, they're going to see the way we live, they're going to see and recognize the attitudes that we have are different. And then we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But everything that leads up to that, that's our song of praise. That's the way we live our life, that is our song of praise to him. And one of these days, we're going to gather around the throne in heaven with those 24 elders and with those four living creatures and with the various agreements and angels, and we are going to sing, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy is the one who was slain for me. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for our sins. He gave his life so that you, so that all mankind could be saved, so that we could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He asked us to believe in him and to believe him. He asked us to turn from our sinful ways and come to him. He asks us to confess and acknowledge him before others. That's our song of praise. He asks us to have our sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. We're immersed. Not that there's anything magical in the water, but that's God's ordained time. We spiritually, symbolically come into contact with the blood of Christ, and he washes our sins away. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. When we rise to walk in the midst of life. What kind of life would that be? A song of praise. A song of glory. A song of worship to the one who is living. He asks us to live that life of praise and to worship and of worship to him. If all creation counts Jesus worthy to be praised and adored, and it does, Is it time each of us gave him an honor in our life that he so heavily deserves? Is it time you turn our back at all, on all that other stuff that takes up our time, that takes our time away from Jesus? To turn all that away and focus on what is absolutely vital and important in our life, bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Sharing the good news. Good news of great joy. Our lives are to be that song of joy. The honor to the King. As we wrap things up with our services, as we wrap things up this evening, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Live your life. From this moment forward, you're not going to live it perfectly. I understand that. We know that. Right? We know that. But live it as a song of praise to the land that was slain. Live your life differently. Don't live the way the people around you live. Don't live the way the people down the street live. Don't live like the world lives. Live like you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is only one in the history of the universe who was worthy to open that scroll and to show you that we win. Jesus has overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, we have the opportunity in him and through him to overcome the world. And that is worth a song of praise if I have ever heard anything that was. If you are here tonight and you are a Christian, the challenge, the encouragement is to live that life of praise. Let your life be that song that others see and say, I want some of that. I want what they have. Don't let them look at you and say, man, I don't know what they got, but I want it. No, live your life in a way that will bring glory to the name of Jesus. Not because we're special, not because we're better, but simply because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're here tonight, and you have not yet been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I understand. I know the world's going to tell you lots of ways that you can get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus explained to us how. Whoever believes, he said, and is baptized. Whoever believes. We have to believe that Jesus is when he died for us. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you repent. That simply means that we're sorry for who we've done God. We don't live that way anymore, and we turn in obedience. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And again, whoever believes and is baptized. You need to be immersed in the water. That's what the word baptizing means. Be immersed. And our sins are washed away. The blood of Jesus redeems us, buys us back for God. If you have a decision you'd like to make, we're going to invite the praise team to come up. If you're ready as a Christian to rededicate your life, say, you know what, I haven't been living my life as a song of redemption, as a song of praise. But I want to start. I want to do that right now. I want brothers and sisters to pray for me, to wrap their arms around me, and give me the strength to do it. If you're here tonight and you have not been redeemed by the blood, but you would like to be, you can be before you leave tonight. You can go out of this building tonight singing that song of praise with your life to the one who has redeemed you. If you're here and you just want the church to lift you up in prayer, if you have questions, if you need answers, we're just going to invite you to come forward. We're going to stand and we're going to sing tonight. If you have a sin, would you come as we sing together?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lord? Thank you. Let the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, fire born in spotless are made white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
The brother said at the beginning of the service there with this, in his message, the point the song was just led up to, the, and how about the closing, the invitation here, the Holy Spirit, once again, it's, and notice it's, are you washed in the blood? You come in contact with the blood of Jesus. It's not, have you been to the altar call? You know why? Because that's not in the Bible. It's not, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Because that's not in the Bible. I'd love for you to show me where it's in the Bible. People say, well, you just knock on the door and Jesus will let you in. That's in Revelation 3:20. And he's talking to a church that's already come to him and is backslidden and is repenting. That's who that is there. You come to Jesus Christ to share his death. He died and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says that, do you not know that all of you that have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? We share the death, we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. As he said, there's nothing magical in this water. It's what happens in the mind of God when we're obedient to him. Do you want to be obedient to Jesus? But do you not know that you all have been baptized into his death? Buried with him in baptism, arise to walk in the old life. No, that's not what it says. Buried with him to walk in the, and arise to walk in the new life. What are you going to do? Old things behind us. Church, we need to put the old things behind us. You're here tonight, you're outside of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to put the old things behind you. Come to Jesus. March to him. Of course, we know that man was the one that added the chapters. And so you go back and you just look there in Revelation 4. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, or who was, and who is to come. He's coming again. And we need to be ready. Are you ready tonight? Because he can come tonight. He can require your soul tonight. Let today be your day of salvation, as we say. For all that there, just as he goes back and continues to let the light shine in that community. Thank them for letting me be here and sharing with us this week. And so it's been a blessing to have you all here. I hope that as you leave here tonight, that as a Christian, we leave here with the joy of Jesus Christ on our hearts and on our tongues, and let it be known to the world that we're a Christian, we're different. And yes, they may think we're peculiar and odd, right? But if that's what it takes to get to heaven, then we'll just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. And so, so glad to have you all here. As Gary Cooper, if you'll come up and close us out tonight. And let these messages continue to work on your heart. Look to the Bible. There's a lot of things that people think the Bible says that the Bible doesn't say. Open it up. Read it for yourself. And then you'll be able to stop. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty.
Dear Father in Heaven, what a privilege it has been to be here these last several days. Let's not leave this fire burn out, Lord, but let us take it and share it with someone else as we've been challenged tonight. And we're just so thankful for being in these come and shared with us from your word. We're so thankful for your Son who made this all possible, made this, and you were the land that was worthy to be slain. We're so thankful for it. Tonight, as we come, we ask a blessing on this time that we've been together, and we just ask also there are some that aren't able to be with us tonight because of illness or in a hospital, whatever that may be. Lord, we ask that you grant a blessing and healing to them as well. But again, this time that we've shared together has been such a blessing, and we just ask that as we share that with someone else, continue to lift up your Son and all that we say to you. For his name we pray.
We'll say, I'm fine.